that's what's so important about building courage into your career, is because we're going to have those moments where we have to lean in. We have no choice. So why not do it with a level of courageousness that feels better, that doesn't feel like grit and grinding it out? Hello, and welcome to the Love Your Work Life podcast. I'm your host, Elisa Shuck. Whether you're going for that next promotion, looking for a job, or making a career pivot, I'll teach you how to navigate it all so you can have the career you want. Hello, and welcome to Love Your Work Life, episode 154. Today's episode was inspired by a conversation I was having with a client. We were doing interview prep, and we were specifically doing interview prep for behavioral interview questions. Now, the good thing was that the organization this person is interviewing with provided the behavioral interview questions in advance. That was awesome. But what was interesting about the tone of all these behavioral questions was, tell me about a time you had a challenge. And there was a focus on the negative. I don't quite understand it, although let's say, realize it, it's probably just a self-awareness thing. But keep in mind that when you're prompted to answer questions about challenges and conflicts and a boss you didn't get along with, it can bring up some stuff. It can bring up some things that you want to be honest and truthful about. You want to be authentic, of course, in every single interview, but it brings up things that might not be the right thing to share. It might be over-disclosing. I'm all for being courageous, and I love Brené Brown's teaching on being courageous through vulnerability, because what she means by being vulnerable is having the courage to lean in when things get tough, to keep going and not tap out when you're facing uncertainty or feeling exposed. And that can happen oftentimes when you're interviewing or when you're encountering a conflict with someone on your team or leading your team through some difficult challenges. That's why being courageous in the sense of being vulnerable is so important. And it's important because creativity, innovation, taking action is reliant on vulnerability, on leaning in when it's uncomfortable, when it feels like you've got nothing but rejections in your inbox. Lean in, apply for the job anyway, reach out to the recruiter anyway. That's what's so important about building courage into your career, is because we're going to have those moments where we have to lean in. We have no choice. So why not do it with a level of courageousness that feels better, that doesn't feel like grit and grinding it out? So how do you do it? Well, I'm going to outline three things for you today that I believe are key components of having a courageous career. And the first one is facing reality. And this might sound a little counterintuitive, but that's okay. Because what I want to offer you is that there are actually two realities going on at the same time. Here's what I mean. You've got the external circumstances, the things that are happening around you that you can't control, but you also have things that you can control. And that a lot of times has to do with your thoughts, your feelings, how you're responding in any given situation. There are also the inner reality of your thoughts, the habits, the habitual thoughts that you think about yourself. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Let's face it. We can't all be happy-go-lucky, rainbows and butterflies all the time. We have some built-in thought patterns that are good, and we have some built-in thought patterns that are not so good, that do not serve us. Many times planted there from people that didn't believe in us or talk down to us, whatever that is. And then sometimes there's just that self-critic. Stephen Pressfield talks about the critic in his book, The War of Art, about being creative. Awesome book if you ever want to read one. But it's that inner critic sometimes that we listen to a little too often. But there's something deeper than that. We can go into a deeper inner level of consciousness that never has negative or critical thoughts about us. It's what we would call a higher source, an inner being that has a much broader perspective about what's going on overall and what's going on inside of us. Some of us might even think of it as a kingdom, an inner kingdom that has this perspective that is full of love and grace and you're worthy and you're enough. That's the second reality that's going on in there. So when you're thinking about the reality and being realistic, I want you to give equal airtime to the inner voice, to that what some call the still small voice that never criticizes you, that never says you're not enough, that always has loving, compassionate thoughts about you. That inner voice sees the heartache, sees the disappointment, sees the injustices, acknowledges them. Because I'm not saying you have to ignore that stuff. What I'm saying is, yes, it exists, but that deeper level, that inner voice, has a much bigger, broader perspective about that than what we're often experiencing in the moment. That's the reality that I want you to look for in every single circumstance. Personal experience, how did I manage a really, really toxic boss? By deciding that I was going to listen to the inner voice, not his voice for sure, not even the voice inside of me that said, ooh, maybe there's something I can do to prove myself to him. Maybe there's something I can do, that people pleaser. No, I went deeper than that to the voice that said, you know what? This might not be the reality that you want to focus on. How about focusing on the reality and evidence of everything you have done and everything you have accomplished and everything you're capable of accomplishing? That, my friend, is a reality that we need to tap into on a regular basis so that when unhappiness and some of the other natural turmoil that happens outside of our control, we have a true north. We have that inner sanctum that we can go back to. The second thing about being courageous and will help you know which reality that you are engaging with is listening to your emotions. Now, I am a naturally positive person. I am what you would call a glass half full person. Positivity is in my top five of my Clifton strengths. So I kind of look at things that way. But you don't have to plaster over negative emotions. You don't have to pretend that everything's wonderful when it's not. You can actually use negative emotions to your advantage. And here's why. Because generally speaking, when we're feeling a negative emotion, it means we're not tapped into that inner reality. Because that still small voice, that inner being, that kingdom within is never going to go with you to less than thoughts. That inner voice is never going to say you're not enough or you're not capable. And when you're feeling a negative emotion, you're in disagreement with that inner voice. That's how you can use negative emotion to your advantage. Acknowledge it. Be a curious, compassionate listener and watcher of your own thoughts and emotions so that when they come up, you can decide whether you want to indulge that or not. Does it really serve your bigger purpose? I can think of artists and musicians and tapping into unhappiness and disappointment. There are ways that that serves their art. And I think that's so cool. But here's why I think it works. Because in a weird way, they are tapping into that inner being. They're tapping into compassion. They're tapping into you're not aloneness. They're tapping into you can make it through, simply through acknowledging the negative emotions that are happening. So pay attention to that to yourself. Are the emotions you're feeling moving you forward and closer to those inner being kinds of thoughts that say, this will pass, you're okay, you're gonna be fine? Or are they taking you into a whole nother realm that is just gonna bring you deeper into lack? It's the best way I can put it. And scarcity. Not a place that serves you in terms of leaning in, my friends. Do any of us feel like leaning in when we're focusing on disappointment? No, we don't. That's why I want you to use your emotions as this guidance system to help you figure out, okay, not leaning in to that better reality. And the third thing that you can focus on to help you maintain courage during your career and all the things that you've got to do as you move through your day and move through the weeks and months, the goals and the achievements, is what I call unconditional intention. It's setting an intention, not just at the beginning of the day, but it's setting an intention at any moment in time. And the reason this is important is because life is going to throw some curveballs at us. We can't control the behavior of other people, but we can control the way we approach people and circumstances and situations by intending for what we want to see. Here's a great phrase that you can use. As I enter into this, fill in the blank, as I enter into this meeting, as I enter into this conversation, as I lead this situation, as I kick off this project, I intend to see what I want to see. Here's the cool thing, is sometimes we know what we want because we've identified what we don't want. That's another way to kind of play around with those emotions. If you feel disappointed, then that's an indicator that you don't want to be disappointed in the future. Disappointment means I want fulfillment. So you can go into a meeting deciding that you're going to see fulfillment. You're going to see cooperation and collaboration instead of arguing and chaos. It's so cool the way setting an intention actually paves the way to getting what we want. Moment to moment, day to day, task to task, week to week, and even year to year. While we can't control the conditions around us, we can decide that our responses to what is happening is going to be unconditional. This was a mind-blowing paradigm shift for me when I changed up my definition of unconditional. That means I don't need somebody else to approve me to approve myself. I don't need the conditions around me to be perfect in order to show up as my best self. If you're in an interview, you don't need that person to be personable, engaging, or totally into you to show up as your best self. You can intend how you want to show up no matter the conditions. That's unconditional. Think about the market. You could decide right now you do not need market conditions to change in order to find a job. Just look at LinkedIn. People are landing jobs all the time. I see those celebration things all the time. That can be you too. And having that condition in advance, setting that intention ahead of time, helps you see things more clearly so that you don't get distracted by the conditions. You're actually leaning in courageously despite uncertainty, despite the conditions, despite exposing yourself to potential rejection. Unconditional intentions is not putting your head in the sand. Like I said, it's not ignoring the things that are going on. It's deciding that you want harmony with your inner reality that you're creating by using your emotions as a guiding light, by paying attention to the second reality that's hanging out there in your life so that you can have this amazing, beautiful harmony. Our brains want harmony. Our brains crave harmony. There's some spirituality in what I'm talking about here, but there's also some brain physiology, my friends. It's so cool how it all fits together. One thing supports the other. And when you're looking for harmony, you're going to get it. And you're because your brain wants it. Your brain is looking for the ways to put all the pieces together for you. Can we be courageous in our careers, our relationships, with our close friends, family, work relationships, boss, team? Yes. We do it with these three things. Looking at the two realities, choosing the one that serves you best, the one that won't go down the tunnel of despair with you, paying attention to your emotions and using your emotions to your advantage, and then being unconditionally intentional, deciding in advance how you're going to feel, what thoughts you're going to have about any given circumstance. All right, my friends, go out there and be courageous, and I'll talk to you again soon. If you like listening to this podcast, I invite you to visit the Love Your Work Life website at elisashuck-careercoach.com. On the site, you're going to find free resources and information about all of my coaching programs, everything you need to land a great job, advance your career, and lead and build an awesome team. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and don't forget to follow me on LinkedIn.